The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's right. It's time once again to get things going. And I can't believe it. Another hour already of the Bucket Strategy Investing program is underway. We welcome you back to the big show. I'm Johnny Dean. Our professor is the dude that we call the professor, known in official circles as Rick the Plum. Dude. I think that's probably on your birth certificate.
Rick the Plum. Dude.
It doesn't say professor, does it? Have you checked?
I have seen my birth certificate. It does not say the professor.
Okay, so nobody thought to say that way back in the 1900s.
Nobody had a clue.
When you were born, that's right. But hey, we know now, and we've got a clue, and we're here to help you out. As is Professor Rick Plum here from Lucia Capital Group, standing by to answer your money questions. Going to dive right into this hour's strategy session. A lot of topics on the table, along with anything else that you might want to talk about. I will tell you this, that I mentioned this to the TV people just a few moments ago, that what we need to do, I think at least for a segment or so, help if we can to clear up the confusion that is still out there on what's happening with Social Security, the changes and the deadlines, these file and suspend and restricted application that you keep hearing about. Who is this affecting, or is it whom? Whom is this affecting? Whom is it not affecting? Whom doesn't have to worry about it? Nope, wrong way. Who doesn't have to worry about it? And, when you hear this whirlwind of information, when you have this whirlwind that's going around, especially on emails, I've gotten a couple, not from listeners or viewers, but from, you know, people who supposedly know Social Security and say, file and suspend is going away. Well, it's not, but you need to understand how this works. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Coming up, keep it right here for the best in money information. Phone calls and all that coming up. We're going to cover what you need to know about your money and all about your money strategy. This is what we do on this program. Now, emails, you send those directly to us, wealthed.com. You click on the Find Your Answer link. We do take phone calls first on this show, though. I want to remind you that. So if you need your question answered right away, 877-PLANNER is our number here in the studio, 877-752-6637. In fact, all the lines are open right now. Somehow people hung up during the news. I don't know why. Call back or give us a call if you haven't been on the line yet. You can get in touch with the Brain Trust off the air, too, at just about any time of the day. The number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. They bring us this hour of the program. We thank them, as always. And I'm going to say it again. You need a personalized bucket strategy. You need one that's designed with your goals and needs in mind. So call Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at that number, 800-644-1150. You can schedule an appointment with a Brain Trust advisor. Get yourself a bucket strategy if you haven't gotten one already. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. And on the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. So we had our Social Security show yesterday.
Yes.
One of the many that we have. And we had a couple of calls during the show off the air that we're going to cover on next week's program. But at least one or two of those had to do with this deadline that's coming up that we keep hearing at the end of April. As of April 30th of this year, you cannot do what's called a file and suspend strategy without and still allow somebody else to take.
Right. We're not losing the file and suspend.
No, we're not, and that needs to be made clear.
Once you get to full retirement age, regardless of what your birthday is, you will still be able to suspend your benefit. The problem is the reasons for suspending your benefit are not as plentiful anymore.
In fact, they're almost I would say they're non-existent. Well, there are reasons.
There are a few.
Delayed retirement credits
right.
is one. Yeah.
But the reason most people use the file and suspend option was because they wanted to wait until 70 for their own benefit anyway. So the file and suspend didn't do them any good because they weren't going to get a benefit until they were 70 anyway. What it did was it allowed for a spouse to receive a spousal benefit while the worker delayed taking their benefit until age 70. That's what's going away. It also allowed the worker to defer taking their benefit, but then at some point between the day they suspended it and when they turned 70, it gave them the option of changing their mind and undoing the suspension, reversing it back to the day they filed, start receiving that benefit, which is obviously lower than that would have received if they'd waited, but getting a lump sum check retroactive for all the benefits that they missed out on since the day they filed. Those are the two issues that are going away. the ability for someone else to receive a benefit while you've suspended your benefit, somebody else to receive a benefit from your work record while you've suspended your benefit, and the ability to undo your choice. Now, the reality was, within those two options, the vast majority was the reason to do it was the spouse, to let the spouse start receiving a spouse benefit. I was planning on doing it. I was planning on filing and suspending when I got to my full retirement age so that my spouse could take a benefit from my work record while I waited until 70 to take the much larger age 70 benefit. I'm not going to be able to do it because I'm not turning 66 in the next month.
No.
And nothing I can do about that.
You've
so no matter
tried.
How many emails telling me that I have a deadline of April 29th next month to get this done by, it doesn't matter. I can't do it.
Yeah. So let's be clear on what the strategy is until April 30th. If you are full retirement age.
Or if you will be in April.
Yeah. Let's just say that. I mean, there are people who will be just under the wire. If you're full retirement age and you would like to have your spouse, let's say in this case your spouse, take a benefit, as in a spousal benefit, from your work record, which is what a spousal benefit is, and allow your benefit to continue to grow, you can file and suspend, but you have to do so before April 30th.
April now, 29th. Well, before
April
30th. Well, April 30th is a Saturday anyway. I don't think they're open.
Be that as it may. If you're April 30th or after, yes.
You're toast because you won't be able to suspend it and still allow somebody else to take the benefit from your work record.
Exactly. Now, if you file and suspend after, well, let's call it April 30th or after, just to make it easy. If you do that, you can still do that.
Yes.
But that means that since you've suspended, nobody else, your spouse or your eligible children, can take a benefit. Now, the only people that can still do it are divorced spouses,
ex-spouses.
An ex-spouse.
It doesn't affect ex-spouses.
And there's a whole reason for that.
Well, we can't get any vindictive people, you know,
which
messing with
happen.
Their ex-spouse.
Yes.
But basically, if you suspend after April 29th, April 30th or later, you kind of isolate your benefit. When you suspend, you are saying, nobody, I won't take a benefit from my work record. Nobody of my current family, my current kids, if I have a disabled adult child, my current spouse, they also cannot have a benefit. Nobody in my household can have a benefit if I suspend my benefit after the 29th of April. Prior to that, we have options. But that also means that, first off, to have this deadline mean anything to you, you have to be at least 66 or older before the end of April. You have to have not already applied for your benefit. You have to want to wait until age 70 to take your benefit. You can't be taking a restricted application from your spouse's work record. Mm-hmm. And you want to either preserve the right to undo it or let somebody take a benefit from you.
Undo it beyond the 12 months that you're
6
currently
months.
Allowed, or 6 months.
Well, 12 months. That's just to pay it back, though. That's not a suspension.
No, I understand. But you can get back benefits.
Yeah. It's a very small subset of people that are worried about this April 29th deadline. Because most people that have wanted to file and suspend, that have the opportunity to file and suspend, have already done so. Now, like, if you are full retirement age and you are waiting until age 70 and you're not taking a restricted application, nor will you take a restricted application from your spouse at any time in the next couple of years between now and age 70, you should be contacting Social Security and applying and suspending. But unless you fit into that category,
it doesn't matter. You ticked off those the reasons one after the other, the reasons the people who should be
right. You are or will be 66 by April 30th.
If you're not 66 by April 30th, this means nothing to you.
Right, because if you're already receiving your benefit, means nothing to you. If you've already suspended, means nothing to you. It's only an issue is if you are currently or will be 66 before the end of April. You want to defer taking your benefit till age 70. You want somebody else to be able to receive a benefit from your work record, somebody in your current household. Or you want to undo it. That's the person that needs to do something right now.
Right. Now by going down that list, what that did was categorically eliminate a good portion of the people that this is going to affect. Now, to be sure, if you are going to be affected by this, And you don't get it done. I mean,
it's an effect.
It can hurt a strategy, because the strategy that we used to talk about, which is you can still do until April 29th, was a pretty good one. In fact, it was a great one. For many people, if they weren't age 62 by the end of last year, they're aced out of doing the restricted application.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about the restricted application. And unfortunately, there's a lot of confusion between the two different strategies, file and suspend, and the restricted application. And there's a lot of people calling who are just 62 years of age,
right,
saying, what do I have to do by April 29th to preserve the restricted application? And you, if you're 62 already or were by January 1st, you've already done everything you need to do.
That's
you,
right.
You were old enough.
If you want more information on this, by sheer coincidence, there's a guide you can download at our Facebook page. That's right. WealthEd, WEALTH. If you're on Facebook, search WealthEd, ED, WealthEd, and you'll see it right there at the top of our page. It's a link. You can download and get all this information that we just passed along to you. Okay, more on that. Anything else that's on your mind, give us a call. Line's open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean and Professor Plum, we're coming right back. Well, I didn't see you come in. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, standing by, talking to you about your money. 877-PLANNER, our number. 877-752-6637. We got some lines open right now, so give us a call with your money questions. And emails as well. It's at wealthed.com. That's where you go, wealthed.com, to send us an email at the Find Your Answer link. Let's do a couple of these here. I thought I'd done Will. I guess I hadn't. Okay, so Will in Humble, Texas, asks the following. I am 58 and I'm retired this year. I'm receiving $2,500 a month in FERS, F-E-R-S, that's the Federal Employee Retirement System pension. I have $227,000 in a thrift savings plan, and then he's got it kind of allocated between a G and a C fund. My debt is $13,000 in mortgage at 4.75% interest. Have a $19,000 HELOC at 8.75%. And $17,000 auto loan at 8%. Given current market, should I pay off all my debt using my cash plus a withdrawal from the thrift savings plan? So taking money out of a thrift savings plan to pay down debt, Professor Plum, that's really what he's asking.
So he's got $30,000 in cash.
Yes.
And the first issue is he's got $19,000 at 8.75%. That's got to go. Boom. Yes, use your cash for that. Now he's only got $11,000 of cash left, but mm-hmm. he's got a $17,000 car loan at 8%. So if he pays off takes the 11, now the problem is he's running himself real short on cash.
Yes.
But he also just paid off his HELOC, so if he ever really runs into an emergency, he can pull it
cash
back out.
Right.
Yeah. But in the meantime, he's basically earning 8.75% on that money that he's no longer paying interest on. Pays off. So we would need to take about $6,000 out of his TSP to add to the cash to pay off the car loan. Now, if you take $6,000 out of the cash or out of the TSP, it's going to add to his income, so it's going to raise his income from $30,000 a year to $36,000 a year, still in the 15% income tax bracket. He's never going to be lower than the 15% income tax bracket. So I would consider doing that. Now, the problem is it's the TSP. He can't do a little bit now. So if he wanted to then pay off the house at the same time, he'd have to take out another $13,000. So that's a distribution from his TSP of $19,000. Well, if he puts $19,000 on top of his $30,000 of pension, he's no longer in the 15% income tax bracket. He's in the 25% bracket for at least a portion of that money. A 10% increase in taxes. His interest rate on that loan is only 4.75%, and it's tax deductible. Well, it's not tax deductible at his level. So it's 4.75%. That's like 2 years worth of interest. I would much rather see you do something else. Sure, take the six out and even take out a little bit more this year to pay down your mortgage. And then next year, when you're 59 and a half, transfer the remaining portion of the TSP to an IRA. Take a distribution from the IRA to finish off the mortgage at that time. Or if you're worried about the payment, pay off the high interest rate equity loan. Pay off the car loan. Now you've reduced your payments. But then if you still can't make it on the $2,500 a month and the mortgage payment is the issue, take out enough to, when you take out the money to pay off the car loan, also take out enough to make the payment for the rest of the year on the house. And then also take out as much as you can, staying in the 15% bracket, that you could then pay down on the mortgage. And then do it again when you're 59 and a half from the IRA. TSP is not going to let you do two partial withdrawals. They only allow one partial withdrawal.
Okay, this might be a really stupid question. Age 58, does that play into it at all?
Well, he can take money directly, assuming he retired in the last 3 years, he can take money directly from the TSP and not pay a 10% penalty. Now, I didn't get into that. I'm assuming he's only recently retired.
But I mean, you mentioned about moving it to the IRA.
And I also mentioned 59 and a half.
Yeah, okay, all right. I didn't know about if that was caught or not.
Yes.
So now, but from the thrift savings plan, assuming that he did retire.
In 55 or
older. Well, he retired this year.
Oh, he retired this year. Okay,
good. Well, there you go. Then that made it a partially stupid question.
Yeah. Well, I didn't catch it. Darn it, I didn't catch the stupid part of it.
The stupid part of my question.
Yes. His question
was
Will's. He gave us the right information.
Yes, exactly.
But I would not take out so much money from your TSP on that one-time partial withdrawal that you can do to pay off the house all at once. Because, as I mentioned, that last $8,000 that you pull out is going to be in the 25% income tax bracket. That's a 10% extra tax on money you're only paying 4.75% on, and that you can pay off a year from now when you roll the money to an IRA and take the distribution from the IRA. So you're 5% ahead on that money. 5% is 5%. I do not like the, 8 1/3 HELOC, even with the,
I don't like an
8% car loan.
That's it. HELOCs are generally tied to
prime, LIBOR, you know.
Right. So it's interesting that it's 8 1/3 unless it's really old. Although I think a lot of those were.
And it's canceled. Not. I mean, it can't be that he's got a problem with debt to equity ratios. I mean,
no, $13,000 mortgage.
$13,000 plus 19. I mean, it's not a high mortgage combined balance.
No, it's not. Now, as to the mortgage, 4.75% interest. Unless cash flow is a problem, you don't really see an issue with that too much.
I don't want to pay the extra 10% in taxes to take enough money out to pay off all three loans.
Yeah, so it's not really worth it at that point.
So I will pay off the 8 1/3 mortgage. I will pay off the 8% car loan because I can do that all with a distribution, either using the cash or using a distribution from my retirement account at a 15% income tax bracket. I just don't want to go in the 25% income tax bracket. And so you can have about $45,000-$46,000 of total income and stay in the 15% income tax bracket.
Okay, so I mentioned the age here, and you mentioned retiring with a in the thrift savings plan. We should throw in again the rules regarding retiring from either a company or, in this case,
Retiring from any employer that has a retirement plan on your behalf for your with your money. You don't have to be 59 and a half to get to that money penalty free. It will always be taxable. That's, you're not getting out of the taxes, okay? So if you want to avoid the penalties, though, as long as you have terminated employment in the year that you reach 55 or older, you can take direct distributions from that company's plan without a 10% penalty. Now, the problem he's going to have taking a distribution directly from the plan is, even though he's only in a 15% income tax bracket, they're going to withhold 20%, mandatory. So if he asks for a check for $10,000, or if he asks for a distribution for $10,000, they're only going to give him $8,000. Two of it's going to go to the federal government for a withholding as basically a prepayment on the taxes he may or may not owe when he files a return for this year, next April or so. So he has to work that angle into it and say, okay, how much can I take out? Staying it, we need to look at how he's got $30,000 of income. He can have roughly $46,000. So we could take out $16,000, but he won't receive a check for $16,000. He'll receive a check for 12-something, 12-4, or whatever it is. I can't do the math quick enough in my head. Sorry. It's.
I'll do it, and then I'll make fun of you.
But that will be enough to pay off the car, because you needed $6,000 for that. And it'll be enough to either give you enough money to make the payment for the rest of the year on the house loan, or and buy enough time to get to 59.5 where you can take money from the IRA. Once you roll it to an IRA, it just buys yourself some time. So it does take a little math and a little modeling of the income cash flows here.
$12,800.
Thank you.
There you go. If I did my math correctly.
$3,200.
There you go.
In tax withholding.
How about that? All in my head. That's remarkable.
It is.
Thought about math in years. Okay, 877 planner our number. Them's the rules. We got more. We got more coming up, and we've got room on the phones. 877 planner. Emails, phone calls, all that just ahead. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. It's called Bucket Strategy Investing. Get on board now. Taking more from you when we come back. Welcome back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing, here answering your money questions every day. Got a lot of emails to get to, so we'll get to some more of those in just a couple of moments. 877-752-6637. And you can talk to us live on the air that way. And by the way, emails, yes, I said that, wealthed.com. That's where you go to send us an email. And you can also talk to the Brain Trust in person. That's right. 3D versions. Of Professor Rick Plum, of Terry Keyes, whom you hear on this program every so often, and the local advisors, and many of you have met, certainly, talking to Lucia Capital Group advisors locally. The next one is coming up this Saturday, just a few scant days away in Portland, Oregon. In fact, Professor Plum is going to be heading out of here Friday, right quick, to make his way up the coast to get to Portland, Oregon, in time for Saturday, March 19th, 9 o'clock a.m. start at the Embassy Suites there in Tigard. If you want to join the Brain Trust, it's easy to do. You go to wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com, at the live events tab. Just tell us you're coming. Tell us how many. I don't know. You need names? I guess you do. Just tell us who's going to be there. Yeah, it'd be nice. And join the Brain Trust this Saturday in Portland, Oregon. Now, a couple weeks after that, the Houston, Texas, that'll be Saturday, April 9th, and then Saturday, April 30th, Santa Clara, California. So you got Portland, Houston, and Santa Clara, and there could be a few more after that that we're working on. You check wealthed.com. You can get updates there. As I said, you sign up there. It's all free, all of it free. Bring your money questions, any issue that's on your mind, and be prepared to learn a lot about retirement income strategies. That's what we have on this program. Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Since we brought it up, before I get to the next email, taking money out of a retirement plan.
Yes.
One way to do that, if you're, we said before the break, if you happen to be age 55 or older, and is it the year you retire you have to do that?
This one is the year that you turn 55 or older and terminate employment.
So if you, yeah, so
if my birthday is December 30th and I turn 55 this year and I terminate right now when I'm only 54. Sorry, I'm not a safety member. Where did my math go?
Age 55.
54 right now, but I will be 55 by the end of the year. If I terminate employment, I can still take direct distributions from the company that I just terminated from's retirement plan, and I won't have a 10% penalty. So if I roll it to an IRA, 10% penalty if I take it out this year. But if I take it directly from the retirement plan for the company that I just quit, or they fired me, whatever the case may be, I can get it without a penalty, as long as I'm going to be 55 at some point during this year.
Okay, now if you didn't turn 55 until, say, after the first of the year, January 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
Of next year?
Yeah, let's say that, and the company decides they want to let you go on December 30th,
I'm begging that they keep me on for another week.
You would ask them, please keep me on because
I need the money. You're firing me, and I don't have enough money to retire yet. I'm only 54.
Exactly. So you have to, the key to do what we were talking about, to get the money out of that company's retirement plan, before, without a 10% penalty, you must terminate employment in the year you turn age 55 or greater.
Right, and it doesn't affect previous employers' plans.
No.
It doesn't open up the access to any other plans. It only opens up access to that employer's plan.
Yeah, so that is one way to get the money out of a retirement plan before you turn age 59 and a half without penalty.
Now, if I'm what they call a safety member, a law enforcement, firefighter, lifeguard, whatever, safety category, it only has to be age 50 in the year I retire. So I can get to my qualified retirement plans of the company I terminated from at age 50 or later without a 10% penalty.
Yeah, now you are going to be taxed on this.
Taxes are taxes.
I want to remind people, because when we've talked about this before, they say, well, that's great, so I can take it out without taxes or penalty. No. The only thing that goes away in that particular instance is the penalty, the 10% penalty for taking it out.
You still have
to pay taxes.
You still have to pay. Now, this is not a substantial equal payment plan. This is not a 72T, as most people know a 72T, because it doesn't have to be a set number every year. It can be variable. It can be periodic. It can be this year and then nothing again for 2 years. It is a complete, partial, just random distribution that is still eligible for the non premature penalty.
Yes.
But now, the biggest issue that we people have run into is that their provider, their 401k, just says, nah, we don't want to deal with you. We don't do partial distributions. We don't do any of these kinds of little, you know, at your, you know, request. Even the federal government's thrift savings plan doesn't do that. They say, you have one partial withdrawal in your lifetime. And then the next time you want money out, you either have to set it up on a structured payment for the rest of your life, or you have to take 100% of the money out.
72T or take it all out.
So you have to, if you're planning on using this, and we do this quite often in planning, where we'll leave enough money at an individual's 401k, specifically in a stable value type fund or something of that nature that's very, very safe in that respect, to bridge the gap between 55, 56, 57, and 60, where they can get to the rest of their IRA money. The federal government doesn't let you do that very well.
No. Okay, now, let's
check with your 401k.
Yeah, please, because even though the laws allow it, your 401k may not allow. And it's not just that. There are other things that the laws allow.
Talking with somebody that works for a very large home improvement company across the United States. There's a couple of them. I won't give the exact name.
And were they at a depot or something? Or
what am I going to say? I don't know if it's high or low or a depot or whatever.
Oh, okay. The highs and the lows. And yeah.
And the depots.
The depots, sure. I get it. Okay.
The Dixies or the...
Whichever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which one. They didn't do partial withdrawals.
Okay.
It was either
right.
Leave it all. Mm-hmm. Or take it all.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. They just
you just have to know it, because if you were planning on using that as your stopgap measure, and all of a sudden now you find out you don't have that option, mm-hmm. you got a little scrambling to do if you've already told them you quit.
That's right. You could just show up the next day and
hope that they forgot.
Like in Seinfeld, pretend like you never said anything. Okay, now let's say you didn't. Let's say you turned 55 a couple of years ago. You're now 57, 58, and you terminate employment then.
Okay, well...
No, I'm sorry, excuse me. You terminated employment at age 55. Yeah.
That was... But I terminated at 53, but now I'm 55 and I want to take money out of my retirement plan?
Yes.
Is that where you were going?
Yeah. Well, that was part of
where
I was going.
It doesn't work very
well. No. But, that was the next part.
So let's let you start it.
All right, so let's say you terminate at 55, but you decide at age 58. The money's still in the plan. You can still do it?
Sure.
Okay.
Did I quit working for that company in the year I turned 55 or later?
So the answer is yes. At that point, you're free to do it.
Anytime after that, there will never be another 10% penalty, premature penalty, for a distribution from that plan.
Okay. Now you can still work for somebody else, and that
sure.
doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah.
So as long as if you quit work from three different employers after age 55, you've got access to.
And I've built up a big enough 401k balance to matter in those years.
You could have worked for three different companies for 30 years.
Oh, so I'm a workaholic. Yeah, I work nine
all right.
to five.
I'm throwing these out. That's probably getting outlandish. Okay, now
probably.
Let's say let's take the other example. You quit at age 53.
Uh-huh.
But now you're 55, and you say, "Hey, I'm 55. I quit my employment, and I'd like to take money out of that 401k."
Well, assuming the employer allows you to take the money out, you can take the money out.
But guess what?
It will be taxable and penalized. Because you didn't terminate employment in the year you turned 55 or later.
Yeah,
you only took a distribution. Distributions are not the issue. Termination is the issue.
Okay, what about hardship? People say, I need money in my 401k. I got money in my 401k. I'd like to take it out. I want to use a hardship withdrawal. How do those work?
Well, you go to your 401k administrator and say, here's what my hardship is. Now, some 401k administrators are a little more lenient than others, and the hardship definition is a little more broad than others. But as long as you qualify for a hardship into their definitions, they will let you take money out of that plan. Now, in many cases, they will say, since it is a financial hardship, we're going to disallow you your ability to continue contributing to the plan for a series of months or years. So you have to look at that. But the money that comes out of the plan, if you are not 59 and a half, it is obviously taxable, but it will also be penalized. A hardship withdrawal just allows you access to the plan where you're still employed. Normally, you don't have any access to the money if you're still employed, unless you can, you know, do an in-service withdrawal at 59 and a half or one of these other types of withdrawals. A hardship withdrawal is still penalized.
Now, the difference between that and, say, borrowing from your 401k while you're still working.
Well, borrowing, you have to pay it back.
Hardship withdrawal, you do not.
Hardship withdrawal, you're not allowed to pay it back.
It's a withdrawal.
And you're not allowed to roll it over to an IRA to avoid the penalty and tax. It's not allowed to be transferred or rolled to an IRA, or rolled over, I should say, in that case, not transferred. But a loan is just a different issue. A loan is, I have enough money in there to support the loan. The 401k administrator allows loans. That's not all of them do. And I say, I need $10,000, $20,000, whatever the number is, up to a maximum of 50% of your balance, capped off at $50,000. So if you want a $50,000 loan, you have to have $100,000 in your 401k.
And if you have $150,000, most you can do is $50,000. Right.
It's the, you know, the lesser of 50% or $50,000.
Okay, so just very quickly.
And it's a five-year repayment schedule, principal and interest amortized over a five-year period of time.
Determining whether or not it's an actual hardship to take money out of your 401k, that's done at the 401k level.
401k
at the
administrator determines whether level. Or not it's a hardship or not.
So you go to your HR person. They can determine that. Or
whoever the 401k administrator is.
It could be, so anything. As long as they allow it, they could. They could
there's
call.
There's a guideline, a loose guideline. I mean,
you were hungry and you wanted to go. You know, that's take $100 out.
That's not going to cut it. There is an overall
okay, good
guideline.
All right. I was just wondering how much leeway they actually allow.
No, I mean they have a little bit.
Okay. Well, good. All right. 877 Planner, Edna in San Diego. Hang on, we're going to get to your call when we come back, and we still have a few lines open, but not a lot of time to get on board. So do it now. Ask your money question. We'll talk to Edna and others. Trivia, what's coming up tomorrow? It's all just ahead on Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We got some trivia coming up. We're going to take a few calls here before the top of the hour. 877-752-6637. Edna, call us back. You held on and then dropped, so you got a couple of minutes to call us back before the top of the hour. Let's move along then to Doug up next in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Doug. How can we help you today?
I'm doing good. Hey, my question is, I had called you guys before, I think maybe a few months ago, and I had made a contribution into my wife's IRA in 2013 and 2014. Mm-hmm. That IRA, the IRS decided, well, I wasn't eligible to do that.
Okay.
And she works, she's not at the same job. She's at a job that's covered by Oregon PERS. So she has a plan where she works now.
Right.
My question, I guess, is I made the contribution into that IRA, and I'm going to pay a 6% penalty from the company to pull it out. But is that going to be also is there also going to be a 10% penalty? Because I had to pay the taxes on the money when the IRS decided, you know, said that it wasn't a.
So it was a non-deductible contribution.
Right.
You were still allowed to put the money in. You just were not allowed to deduct it.
Okay. So when I go to take it out, I'm going to pay taxes on it again.
No. You're not going to pay taxes on it again as long as you keep track of it. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. Now, were you or she working in 2013 and 14 when you put money into the accounts?
Yes.
What was your adjusted gross income during those years, total income for those years?
Let's see, probably right around 95,000.
And in the 95,000, and in those years, was she covered by a retirement plan at work, a pension, 401k?
Yes,
she was. Okay.
Yeah, she was. She was covered by the PERS system.
Okay, even in those years. Okay, so she had a retirement plan at work, which meant that she was over the threshold for being able to contribute to a deductible IRA. She could make contributions. You don't have to take the money out. You just were not allowed to deduct it. And at this point, we can't do anything else with it, because if you do take the money out now, it is a 10%. It's a withdrawal. It's a distribution. It's not a withdrawal of an excess contribution. It's just a withdrawal from your IRA. So that is going to be subject to a 10% penalty. But what you need to do is file a form to basically start the clock ticking on the after-tax money to prove that you have after-tax money in it. So you file form 8606 that says we made a non-deductible contribution in those 2 years. So we're establishing what's known as basis. Basis is an after-tax amount in the IRA. And then when you ultimately get to the point where you start pulling money out of the IRA, then that portion of the money that is attributable to the after-tax money won't be taxable again. So if you take $10,000...
Otherwise, I would... I was going to say, otherwise I'm going to pay the company a 6% penalty for pulling it out.
And the 10% penalty for the IRS.
Right.
Right.
Now, how large is her IRA?
Right now, it was an IRA that she had probably 10 years ago when she worked for another
company. Okay, how large is the IRA?
About $60,000.
$60,000. And these two contributions totaled 10 or 11?
About nine.
$9,000, okay. So, you know, what you're looking at if you were to take money out of it, 9/60 would be after-tax money, and the other, you know, 91/60, whatever that percentage is, would be taxable. So at some point when that surrender charge goes away, well, even that, you could potentially, we can deal with that later. But, I mean, there are some ways in the future to maybe get rid of this 8606 issue, but not while there's a surrender charge on the annuity inside your wife's IRA.
Okay, and the 8606 form is one you file with the IRS, correct?
Right, you're supposed to file it for the years that you make an after-tax contribution.
Okay, which would be 2013 and 2014.
Right.
And that'll be fun because I guess I have to file a whole bunch of other forms because when I went to file my taxes the other day, somebody already filed them for me.
Oh, that gets ugly quick. Yeah. Somebody stole your opportunity.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Okay.
But yeah, you did not make an excess contribution. You just made a non-deductible contribution. Unfortunately,
right.
You didn't find out it was non-deductible until after you filed your return and took the deduction, and the IRS wanted their money. And by this time now also, you can't undo it. You can't reclarify it to a Roth IRA, which is what it could have been done. And if you're going to make contributions...
Well, we did try to open a Roth IRA there, but the issue again was they're going to pay you're going to pay 6% to put the money in there. Actually, they opened the IRA, they didn't put any money in it. So,
right, yeah. But usually with an annuity, you can at least get 10% of it out each year without a penalty. So you would have been able to undo at least one of them. But we're past the time horizon to do that anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, I think I know what I need to do then.
Okay
yeah. Doug, thanks for the call. If you have some more questions, hold on, because we're just about out of time. So what he's got, let's call it $9,000 out of a $60,000 is post-tax money, which is 15%. So now, every time the money comes out, let's assume that it all stays exactly the same. When he takes a withdrawal out of this IRA, 15% of it is going to be post-tax,
right.
And 85% is going to be pre-tax.
Right. So let's say he takes out $10,000. He pulls $1,500 of after-tax money.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll take that $6,000 of basis and reduce it by $1,500. Starting the next year, he has $4,500 of basis and whatever the value is.
Uh-huh.
And he redoes the calculation on a year-by-year basis for the rest of that IRA's life.
Almost might make sense.
Well, that's when the surrender charges are gone on that annuity, depending upon what else is involved. I mean, I don't want to give up some bells and whistles that may be involved.
Right.
But everything else being equal, when the surrender charge goes away, he could potentially surrender the annuity. Again, don't do this. This is not a recommendation because I don't know if you have a lifetime income rider. I don't know if you have a death benefit.
Yeah.
All these other things that you may or may not have with the annuity. Take, in your example, or in our example, $54,000.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the non-tax or whatever the pre-tax portion is, and roll it into the company plan at work, the 457 at work.
And
now the only thing is you've got an IRA that's worth six and you got a basis of six. And assuming they don't take this away from us, you convert that to a Roth.
That's it. Okay. But as Professor Plum said, it's not a recommendation because we don't know what else you've got with the annuity and what reasons you might have for it. But it's just one way that some people have gone. Okay. We're out of time already. Can't believe it. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plum, any of the Lucia Capital Group brain trust advisors across the country at their off-air number. That is 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to Professor, as I said, or any of the Brain Trust advisors about your retirement. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented,
Indiana, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.